big show for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We have our friends over from Bruisers Breakdowns and Beards joining us today. Plus, we're going to talk about what happened at Journey Pro with one of the talent that happens to be on that show. This is Total Spot Fest. One, two, three, four.
Welcome back to Total Spot Fest. We are accompanied on this mega episode, as you can see here, by a lot of guests. We have our friends over from the Bruisers Breakdowns and Beards podcast. If you are not already subscribed and following them, what the hell are you doing with your life? Seriously, these are our friends here. Anyway, another Kansas City based podcast talking about some wrestling, and we've been talking about this for a while, and we finally found the time where we're gonna get together and kind of give you guys a little mega show content. So you see here on the screen we have Kevin. We have Michael and we have Dallas. Yes, that is. If you have a sharp eye, that is the Dallas Cage. If you do portray into that internet wrestling, that is Journey Pro. He is a talent. And tonight, the five of us are going to talk about Journey Pro. We're going to shoot the shit and just have a good old time. So, how's everybody doing tonight?
Doing good, fellas. Awesome, thanks for having us here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for the hot intro.
And I'm doing.
Very descriptive.
That's exactly. People always say, you know, it's like, oh, how you doing? And like, yeah, some people like, yeah, that's kind of like a throwaway, but me, I don't know. I kind of like it's almost like a litmus test, like to see if they really care how you're doing. I go, oh, I'm doing. And they're like, you're doing. And if they like try to push further, I'm like, oh, okay. See how far I can take this. But if not, I'm like, yeah, you didn't give a fuck. Whatever. Yeah,
that Jackson Stone interview really affected you, man.
It really did, yeah.
Dude, him saying that, I was like, yeah, you know, he's right. Because I had always said, oh, you know, I'm doing. But, like, I never really realized why. And then him talking about it, I was like, that's why. It's because people say that shit and they don't even mean it. I want to test them.
Very true. Very, very true.
Well, thank you guys for joining us, giving some of your time. We do appreciate it. And thank you for watching. If you are on YouTube, as I always say, you want to join the conversation, hit a comment down below. Do a favor while you're down there and just punch that like button and tickle the subscribe while, you know, give it a try. If you are listening to us on your favorite podcast provider, you can get in touch with us at Total Spot Fest. And I'm trying to think. It's at Bruiser? Okay, I don't remember what you guys' Twitter handle. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all good. That's all good. We got everything tied. Our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram are at 3B Wrestling Pod.
That's right.
That's easy. I like that.
Yeah.
I wasn't that complicated, Jamie. Come on, man.
Fair.
All right. So we were talking briefly here a little bit. We were going to kind of shoot the shit before we get into Journey Pro. You know, just tell us a little bit, you know, you guys, you know, I kind of got, you know, we got a little bit of the backstory before. Yeah, you guys, it used to be another podcast you guys did, and then, you know, there was some moving going on and what, and then you've been going on with the 3B podcast for how long now?
We literally just got done recording our 50th episode right before we hopped on with you guys. So we're coming up on a year now.
Yeah, you're not saying it's like that. Only one a week, apparently. Okay.
Yeah, we do one a week.
Yeah. There's a saying in the business: we don't want it bad enough. All right. We're not gonna make it very far in the business because we don't want it bad enough. Because we're not doing multiple times a week like you guys. Okay.
Yeah. You guys are probably gonna say is,
Jamie, a married man, happily married with four beautiful daughters, and he's been at home for a year and a half. So. I think any mail time he can get is
he needs it.
I need this. I need that's fair.
You don't know.
You need this. Yeah.
He's like 63. You want to do it? No.
That's why I surround myself with nerd shit. Like, cause I need it to separate from princesses and stuff like that.
I don't have an excuse. I'm just a 22-year-old fucking nerd who just happens to wrestle, and that's why I have fucking nerd shit going on behind me, and people are like, oh, what's up with the nerd shit? And I'm like, well, you caught me. And I don't have an excuse. I can't be like, this is my escape. No, this is just me. And I'm stuck with him.
Oh, don't play it off so casual, bro. How many times have you gone through Avatar since the pandemic started?
8.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. 8. I was thinking 6. Okay,
I finally got my younger brother to watch it, and then he got his partner to watch it, and I was like, don't do it without me. So that was 8. And now we're on the follow-up series, which will have been my second time watching through that. So,
Is that Korra?
Yes.
The follow-up series? Okay.
Yeah, The Legend of Korra. And it took me forever to get my brother to finally cave. And once he did, he's stuck now. He's in it. He's like almost as in it as I am, to where they have like an RPG GoFundMe that they started for, like, they're making an Avatar RPG game. Okay. That I think they've made like $7 million on the startup thing. Wow. And their goal was like 10 or 20,000. But yeah, so he's like, yeah, we're all super into that now. It's either, and Mike will tell you, it's either Avatar. It was especially last year, it was a lot of Avatar. Or this year, it's been a lot of Pokemon, because that was like, I got really back into that once I got out of high school and realized I can like all those lame shit I want. So I like dove really hard back into that. And now they have the remakes coming out, and then they have Legends Arceus, which is going to be like Breath of the Wild, but Pokemon. And I'm fucking here for it.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm a nerd too.
Join us. It's okay. I mean, you're talking to a guy who's got Star Wars and a Batman tattoo. Jamie's entire basement is littered with horror.
I have a lightsaber on my desk.
Hell yeah. Nice. See, I don't have I'm not that far yet, and it's only because I don't have enough big boy money to spend on my nerd shit.
Yeah.
So I'm like still in like the middling tier, but I promise I'm going to get there. It's either that, or you're going to see it in my gear, in my entrances, in my promos. It's going to be like, it's going to find its way in there. Oh, excuse me. Didn't mean to hit.
Yeah, you just get real animated.
I did. I talk with my hands, bro.
Hey, join the club. That is definitely me. So, hey. Awesome. Well, so we're gonna go over Journey Pro momentarily here. But usually we kind of just talk about the some news and goings on for the past week. There hasn't been a whole ton of a lot since the barrage of everything that happened over the past 3 weeks. So thankfully, there's not like a bunch of news. I mean, you guys, I know that you tell you do a lot of indie stuff. Do you focus more on the indie scene specifically? Do you watch AW, New Japan, Impact, the one out of Connecticut? I mean, do you watch any of the other ones?
I would say we, for our previous podcast, which was Divas, Dropkicks, and Dives, Kevin and I started focusing on WWE. And about a year and a half in, we realized we were having the same episode each week, which was just like screaming about creative. And it got to
push
a point
Bray
where,
Wyatt.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All the same shit we could have said like 2 months ago. We were saying 2 years ago. And we were getting frustrated because, like I said, every episode was kind of a downer. We were unhappy doing it. We're like, you know, this doesn't make sense. We love wrestling. There's got to be a way we can talk about it in a way that we enjoy. And, but so it's like, if we're not going to talk about WWE, what the fuck are we going to talk about? Mm-hmm. Which I guess what? I should have asked. Can we curse?
Yeah.
I should have asked that up front. Okay.
I already did it, Mike. So,
that's good. I'm always used to our guests asking, and I'm like, yeah, fucking live lie. But, so we were like, well, you know, I mean, Daniel Bryan had to start somewhere, Kevin Owens had to start somewhere, and, you know, they had showed all that Ring of Honor footage and stuff that they had done prior to their WWE run. So we're like, okay, so what's this indie wrestling stuff? And then we just dove in head first and got into that. So basically we focus on everything that's not WWE. We'll talk about WWE when it's pertinent and if anything actually positive is happening, but yeah, AEW, New Japan, Like I got to go to the G1 Climax when it was in Dallas a couple of years ago.
Oh, which was really cool. Jealous.
So
Resurgence was so good. It was so good. Yeah.
Oh man. Mm-hmm. And that was it's so good. It's crazy how I was in Texas at the perfect time. Like, yeah, you know, seriously. Getting to see Thunder Rosa, Sammy Guevara, Brian Cage came down there a lot. Like all the folks that you're seeing wrestling. Do what now?
Do a circus show?
I did not get to go to Wrestle Circus. I wanted to go to Wrestle Circus so bad. And in fact, I had been making plans to go for the one that was Tessa Blanchard and Brian Cage were the main event. And I actually went to an indie show in Dallas about a month before that. And that was literally about the time the Wrestle Circus closed up. That I think that was the first time Wrestle Circus closed up.
Yeah.
But I never made it down there for
they
that.
Closed a couple times. I think it's permanent did, now.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, it's permanent now. But yeah. And it was, I mean, it was just all the people you're seeing on Dark now. Chandler Hopkins was our first wrestler that we got to talk to. And we're good friends with him, and he's been on Dark a couple of times. Mm-hmm. So it's it's just really exciting to see those folks in, you know, a community theater with like 50 other people, or a high school gym with 50 other people,
yeah,
or
a steakhouse
in the middle of nowhere. You know,
didn't you see a wrestling event in a steakhouse?
Yes,
that's
I did.
I'd take steak in a
yeah. I want like the chef, like man. I'm watching dudes wrestle meanwhile the chef is over there throwing cubed steak at me just like off the skewer. See,
now but Jamie would be over in the corner saying, okay, I'll have a porterhouse medium rare, twice baked potato, and a lion tamer.
Yes. Yes. Dallas, you might not know this, but I'm the guy who yells lion tamer at every show 18 to 25 times minimum.
Specifically Jeremy Wyatt.
Specifically, oh, Jeremy Wyatt.
Okay,
he's got a lion on his goddamn trunks. I mean,
I was wondering. I was like, so you just yell lion tamer when nobody does a lion tamer? Like,
well, I've been on this crusade. Of trying to get Jeremy Wyatt to do a damn lion tamer because he's the monarch. He's got a lion on him. It makes a lot of sense, and he is a submission guy. He's a ground wrestler. It is the perfect heel move.
It's your favorite move of all time. Don't gloss over that.
Okay. It is my favorite move of all time. I still am. I'm a Jerichoholic. You know, yeah. I just was an OG WCW Jerichoholic. Man of 1,004 holds. That was my boy, you know, like back in the day. And I want to see Jeremy Wyatt or some heel or somebody do a goddamn lion tamer. I've seen a Canadian Destroyer. I've seen all the other cool shit. Like, I got to see a 450 splash. I've seen a Shooting Star Press, but never have I seen a goddamn lion tamer.
I feel like you're asking for trouble. Like, this. Like it's that scene in Cabin in the Woods where they kept that one dude kept wanting a merman. He's like, oh, it's going to be my year. You're going to get it. You're going to be like, oh, it's going to be the worst possible time.
It's
going to be Jeremy Wyatt doing it to you, basically.
Well, it's morphed. Because this has become a whole work that he's doing now. So now he wants to get a lion tamer, ideally, or Jeremy Wyatt at a live show just come up to his face and just go fuck off.
That's a lot easier to do. All you have to really do is show up.
That's feasible, I think.
Jamie knows that, and so he's withholding all the pleasure from Jamie, and it just eats at him. It's
great. He does his great heel shit, which I'm a huge heel guy, and it's a symphony of chaos.
I'm a huge heel guy. What?
Man. I mean, so I dressed up for him as one of the Halloween show we had. I dressed up as him, and he flipped me off, so that was worth it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, you could really egg him on there.
Dude, there was a dude dressed up as me at that Halloween show, and I was like, what? Like, of all people? I was just man. Like, damn, that's okay.
Those are more over than you think.
I know. I looked at, I can't remember. There was someone in the locker room, and they pointed them out to me, and I was like, I put my hands on my hips, and I puffed my chest out like I was on a title card, and I was like, so this is what being over feels like. And he immediately was like, shut up, kid. Don't get a big head about it. Like that's something to put me right back in my place. And I was like, there it is. That's what I needed.
That's awesome.
He had to humble me because I've, you know, got such a bad attitude for this business.
Break your back, spiritually speaking.
Yes. Or break your spirit, factually speaking.
I'd like to do like a variant tribute. Like I think of myself and I look at myself in the mirror and like, who could I pull off? Because I don't really look like any goddamn buddy that I've seen wrestle for.
Dude, a variant. Dude, that's, ooh, I like that now.
I could be like that bald Gary J.
Walk in with the flag. Yeah.
Gary J, if he never stopped being Jay Lutz.
Man,
it's a thought. All right, I'll give that some thought. All right, we're gonna quickly play there. So, Jamie, did you have any news or any goings on you want to talk about from outside the wrestling world? I know Rampage happened this past Friday.
Yeah, Rampage did okay, 772,000. You know, I mean,
that's more of the story.
Yeah, it was a good show. I mean, we got to see the Lucha Bros win, so they're gonna be going head to head with the Young Bucks in a steel cage.
Nice.
We get to see it live.
What's this show called? Total Spot Fest.
Yes.
I think I just described that match perfectly. There you go.
So funny thing on our name. I do want to get into this because you had a funny name. Like you have an inside joke on your old one. So we actually have an inside joke on ours. So originally our show is called Total Spot Fest Live.
Yeah.
And the reason we did that was because he wanted Spot Fest. JJ wanted Spot Fest in there.
I've been using it for years, and I'm just, yeah. I want to incorporate it. I thought it was a good word, right?
And then, so I'm like, okay, it'd be really funny to do a play on Total Request Live. You know, so Total Spot Fest Live. And the funny thing is, we thought it was hilarious, but literally.
I made a logo that was.
Oh, what got it.
She made a copy of like an old TRL logo. We did the whole thing. And we were not live, so nobody got it.
Dallas, did you ever watch TRL? Do you even know what TRL is?
Carson Daly.
No, that was before
his time. That was like a late 90s thing. Yeah,
you guys were a little bit ahead of Ghost Rider. You're a little bit ahead of your time, but that Woodstock 99 documentary just came out.
Oh, yeah.
And all that stuff is coming back. So like it would have been perfect to come out with it now to throw it on there.
I mean, our email is Total Spot Fest Live still.
That works.
But yeah, so you guys have an inside joke on your old show. Is that right?
Yes. So like I mentioned before, the show was originally called Divas Dropkicks and Dives. Part of me wishes it was still the same name, but it was up to me to change it. So I made the final decision on that. But the funny story is that Kevin and I met in 2012?
2012. Yeah, it was like a week after I moved out here from Chicago. I grew up in Chicago and moved out here to Kansas City in 2012. And we immediately joined like my wife hooked us up with a meetup group or whatever, and it was like Geeks and Gamers group or something like that. And they were having a meetup at a bar. And that's where Mike and I met. And
all right.
And it was at the same time, it was that night. Like we were at the bar and Guy Fieri showed up. I guess they were filming an episode of Diners, Drive-Ins, Drives here in Kansas City. And so Kevin just starts going off about Guy Fieri. And if you don't know Kevin is one of the nicest human beings on the planet.
Oh.
And if you know of Guy Fieri is one of like the nicest celebrities on the planet.
Bullshit.
So it's horribly hilarious and ironic that Kevin can't stand Guy Fieri. It's a running like we do everything we can to remind Kevin. It's like, hey. Like we send it. We used to have Fieri Fridays, which I think everybody did. But we would send Kevin. We would blast his Facebook and Twitter with just Guy Fieri memes on Fridays.
Miss those at all.
No. Challenge accepted, sir.
What's that? Hold on. Pull up the notes app. Fieri Fridays.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
I see Photoshop coming into play this week. All right.
This is the darkest timeline.
That's where the name came from. It was just to kind of get one on Kevin, and then everybody thought it was hilarious, and so we stuck with it.
Sucks because like in this time for like right now in 2021, Guy Fieri really is like what he was like over the pandemic. He's like helped out, and he's got like millions of dollars kind of like raised for live worker, for restaurant workers and live music venues and all this other stuff. And it's like, I want to hate him, but it just like makes me the bad guy for doing that.
So, like, so let, me, I, let, Let me ask you, where does the hate stem from? I'm a Dr. Phil your ass here, okay?
If I can be real, I remember the first time I hated him, and it wasn't really his fault. When I was working, I used to be a store manager at a, let's call it a stop for games, if you will. And there was this game on the Xbox 360, it was Minute to Win It. And it had his dumb fucking face on it, like staring at me.
I remember that game.
Yeah, and his eyes would follow me no matter where I was at in the store. So every time I'd work my shift, I would just turn that case around, like, because I just didn't want to deal with him. And then, like, my friends started watching, what was that? Like, whatever the show was, the Diamond. Yeah. And like, it was just, I was just like, why is fat Corey Feldman like just trying, like walking into a restaurant with like, you know, and I used to work food industry. So I'm like, why is this guy walking in the back with like flip flops and just bare handing the food and like wearing his glasses backwards? I was like, this guy is total douchebag. And like, you know, I just couldn't like, so I would just get enraged for no reason. I'm just thinking of like, you know, bro in like flip flops dropping spaghetti sauce on his toes and shit. Yeah. And so it just kind of built up over the years. And yeah, I was like, oh man, if I see Guy Fieri in person, I'm going to jail, which I've never gotten to a fight in my life. I don't know why I say that. But not one week after moving to Kansas City, he comes waltzing through the door after driving in on like a yellow Harley or whatever. And like, it was just the most flamboyant Harley, you know, it's very Guy Fieri. And I see him and my wife looks at me. She's like, yeah, some asshole's trying to look like Guy Fieri. And I look over and I was like, nope, that's really him. I was like, I'm going to jail tonight. I guess he was just asking for directions.
Oh, man. Like, yeah, they were trying to leash left. Down or something. Yeah.
Jamie, I should put my Dungeons and Diners and Dragons and Drive-ins and Dives shirt.
I do have that shirt. Somebody bought me that shirt as a gag, and I wear that. I love that shirt. That's one of the funniest things, like having.
I love that story.
Somebody sent me from the 8-Bit Geek podcast. Somebody sent me a Guy Fieri Flavortown flag that I had to hang behind me for like a month. So worst month ever. And that was the month COVID hit. Go figure. See? Thanks, Gary.
Oh yeah. See, I mean, we have a gentleman that we work with. He used to be on our team and now he's moved to a different team, whatever. But he's got just similar just hatred towards Guy Fieri. And I remember a couple years ago when his first official Funko came out, and I'm sitting there on Amazon going, like, I need to buy this for Justin. I need to. Somebody give me his address. We need his address. And these assholes wouldn't do it because I'm just like, oh, this is the best. I was going to send a blind box from Amazon, a Guy Fieri, Funko Pop. Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, you would have ruined his day.
something that I just thought of while you guys were telling your story about how you met. Because you know, you guys met at this bar, and then at the same time, Guy Fieri happens to walk in that bar. At the same time, in 2012, I was 13 years old. Yeah. So, there you go.
Wow. So you wouldn't have been allowed in that bar.
No, I wouldn't have.
That was the second ball had just dropped. And
maybe. But he's still 6'5".
I mean, there's that. So
I met him in 2017 in NWL, and he was mini.
I was little baby Dally.
But he was the same height, but he was like 50 pounds smaller.
I was the same height, but like 40 pounds smaller.
Yeah.
I saw you once, I think, Dallas, at the Turner Rec Center, one of the NWL shows.
Yeah, I started training there towards the tail end of that, of the Turner Rec. No, not Turner Rec. I'm thinking of the wrong venue. I was at Turner Rec.
But Turner Rec NWL was like toward the end of NWL.
Yeah, it was. Because they ran there like a couple times.
Yeah, you were there during the Memorial Hall shows.
Yeah, and what was that other venue? What was the venue called that was like way too big? Scottish Rite. I was right there towards the tail end of the Scottish Rite run. Yeah. Because that
building. But that was the one from Metcalf, right? Off of Metcalf? Or?
No, that was the Abdallah Temple.
Yeah.
That was the Abdallah Shrine.
They ran in so many different spots. Yeah, Abdallah Shrine.
They had two or three here. They had a couple there.
That was a cool little venue, too, man.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they bought the place up by me up north here and then went under. And it's now, I think it's now distillery. So yay, alcohol.
Oh.
That was supposed to be my first NWL show. Was going to be the one at the arena because I living in Dallas, I never got to. Kevin and I would always talk about them, and then I was planning to come up visit family that week, and sure enough, that was the week that they showed.
Dude, the biggest shame is that no one's going to see how fucking cool it looked in there. I don't know how many photos got posted of that place, like of that week when it was finally ready to go, but like, oh dude, there was custom, all the walls were painted, there was logos everywhere, there was this like, one of the walls had this mural on it of like a crowd with like the NWL logo on it.
Oh, sweet.
right by the banners, the custom banners that they had, like all of like a bunch of the guys on the roster that they all did get to keep, but God, they looked so good. And it's like, you would have opened the door. And then as you're going down the hall into the large space where the bleachers were built and the ring was going to be like centered with a light, like, you know how in high school wrestling, they would have like the wrestling under the lights or something like that, where one of the meets would have that one light and every other light would be dark. It looked like that. And it was so cool. The place just looked so damn good and nobody will ever get to see it.
I was excited for that, and it's in a great spot right there by Chicken and Pickle and some blocks. Go to the NWL, go get some food, go to the brewery, because it's a great little area. Oh, it was gonna be so awesome.
I just had that. Just went to Chicken and Pickle for the first time. It's been 2 weeks now. Just right around the day Planet Comic Con started, I was coming out of there like, man, it'd be like a good spot for some wrestling around here. I grew up in the Northland, so like that, you know, it was like a trip down memory lane going around that area. But just where Chicken and Pickles is like situated. It just looks like I didn't know that's where the NWL arena was. If I didn't know,
Well, the plan was to have that cross promotion going back and forth. Like you hang out at Chicken and Pickles for the showtime, and then you go to NWL, go afterwards and have the after party at Chicken and Pickle. That's what they were planning the whole time. Like I remember that vividly. And they did do a video walkthrough of the place afterwards, and it sucked. Like Ben Miller was kind of doing
that's
it.
That's even worse, just, man. After
And it was like what could have been, and it looked awesome. Like Dallas said, with the banners taken down. I remember specifically the Dak Draper banner because I was like. Because that was Dak Draper was like one of the top guys in that company.
Oh, yeah.
He was the top guy. Like it was Dak.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jeremy.
Yeah. Jeremy. The Howlets were awesome back then. They had, Jake Dearden, but he was Jack Forrester.
Jack Foster.
Jack Foster. Dude, I haven't heard that name in so long.
He's like barking at people. God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids love Jack Foster.
Yeah.
Have you seen him lately?
Young Fuego del Sol too.
Now post haircut.
Yes.
Does he cut his hair?
Yeah, he cut it. He cut his hair, but he kept the beard. He's just like styled it so that it's not as like wild and everywhere. It's still long, but like it's more like
aerodynamic.
Sleek. It's aerodynamic. That's a good word for it.
He was in
his hair.
He did Anarchy's first show, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He came back to Anarchy.
I think not the most recent one. Not Steel Town, but the first one they had.
He was on that show. Yeah, he cut his hair short. And it was like first I was like, oh my god, I can see your face, but like I like the short hair with the beard. People were
talking about it afterwards, and of course there's technical difficulties, but it was what it was. Yeah. I was telling Jamie, I was like, I've seen this guy before. I don't know where. And he goes, this dude from NWL. He couldn't put the name on, but yeah.
Yeah, man. That he was another one of my trainers. So the what became the NWL Arena was actually the NWL TPC, the Training and Performance Center, that then also became their office. So there was like everything in there.
Everything was running out.
And there was like that space went through so many changes in the 9 months that I was there, from the end of July in 17 to the close in April of 18. Because when I first walked in, there was like, there was also this like powerlifting coach who was going to start a powerlifting team or something. So there were like all these open racks and dumbbells and weights and stuff that the wrestlers had access to. So that was super cool. And then he decided that, that whatever was going, the whole situation was whack. So he took all the gym equipment and left. And then they had to like, I think they left their, the office that they were leasing because it was too expensive, and they decided to throw everything into the TPC. So there was like another big construction where like there was a bunch of stuff cluttered everywhere. And then they cleaned all that out and got it all organized and stuff. And then they decided they were going to try to run there. So for like a good 4 months, I want to say, it felt like forever. It was a construction zone, and there was like sawdust and what's this stuff? What are walls made of? Dry sheetrock and stuff, drywall, stuff like that. It was just like laying everywhere, and the metal like L brackets and just pieces of these desperate parts of bleachers and stuff, and it was everywhere. And to see it when it all got cleaned up, it was like, holy shit. It was like, this is going to be awesome. And yeah, Durden was one of the coaches. Hoodie was one of the coaches. Maverick, Moonshine Mantell, and Dak Draper. They were the four guys that brought me along through most of my run there. It was a good time.
So speaking of Moonshine, I love him. But Jesus, is he like the most... Stiff.
You should have just stopped there.
I know.
You should have just stopped that. You should have just stopped there. Speaking of Moonshine, I love him. That should have been it.
No, but like, I swear to God, like, I've watched some stiff wrestlers in my day. I feel like he is the stiffest guy I've ever seen in the ring. Is that inaccurate?
Nope.
Okay. Surprisingly not.
He is safe as fuck. And that's like, and a lot of my physicality in the ring, I think I got from him, because I kind of like things a little bit of the way he does, in that like he wants to feel it, because if he can feel something, then he can react to it and he can use it, and it enhances his performance, and that's how he gets into it. That's how he gets so intense. And he kind of, I think that kind of rubbed off on me, that and how much he sweats.
Sweats a lot.
So like I remember when he first took over, he would do Tuesdays. Like every one of the coaches had a day of the week. His was Tuesday. And you knew when you were showing up on Tuesday, you were going to do a whole lot of conditioning. And so, we usually didn't wrestle with him all that much. Actually, we would just do a shit ton of blow up drills. So the few times we did wrestle with him, it was like, you know, we were also the staff guys at all the shows. So we had the best seats in the house to watch everybody wrestle. And, you know, having not wrestled him very much, if at all, it's a little intimidating when you walk in there with a brick shit house who you see just beat the fuck out of everybody.
Right.
So... Yeah.
He's more shredding than Julian Salve, man.
And this is something that I think it was him. I could be wrong, but I'll credit him even if it wasn't. He told us, guys, there's a difference between being snug and being stiff. No one wants to work with somebody who's stiff, but if you're snug, you're doing it right. And that's kind of how I like to try. That's what I try to aim for, is that sweet middle, because you don't want your shit to look weak out there. You know what I mean? You don't want to fucking like barely touch a guy. God forbid you whiff him. So, you know, hit him. I hear him so many times. I still train with him, and so many times I hear him just being like, hit him, or, you know, just come on, hit me. Like, just wants you to hit him, man. And like, you gotta hit him, because you don't want to not hit him, and then he's just gonna, because then he's gonna come at you just as much harder. So, like, don't get me wrong. Chops are chops, but everything else, not like it, you know. Chops are like, yeah.
My chest just hurt just thinking of it.
They can suck. They can suck for sure. But
you don't want to do Chop Day, Kevin?
No, never. No.
That's a myth.
I'm not one of those fans. Like those guys who chop.
It's not a myth. I know plenty of schools that do Chop Day, but ours didn't.
Oh, okay.
I just, the thought of getting moonshine to do a chop on my chest just like.
I'm not one of those idiots that would come up to him after the shows and go, hey, can you chop me? Would you chop me, please? Like,
no.
Yeah, I see people do it all the time. And like Sammy Guevara gets that all the time, too. And I'm just like, no.
It's more than you think. Yeah. Like, I mean, if you think.
I enjoy wrestling. I didn't become a wrestler. So I'm going to let the people who have dedicated their free time and money and energy, to let them do that.
I'll support them financially by going to their shows, buying some of their merch. But in no way do I want them to inflict pain on me. Like, they can call me whatever. They call me a motherfucker. They can call me whatever the hell they want. But
yeah,
I draw the line.
Yeah, like, I don't get me wrong. Especially if you're, like, chops are more of an accuracy thing than anything. Because if you aim too low, you're going to end up hitting, like, the nipple or a rib or the diaphragm. And that's not fun. If you aim too high, you're hitting a dude in the throat or in the face. And that's where the risk starts to come in. So, like, you know, it's a bunch of repetition, which means you're taking and giving a lot of chops. So, like, it's, you know, but you kind of just develop a little bit of a callus to it, you know. You just gotta. It's one of those things, man. Just gotta do it.
You're a fan, aren't you?
Or I was gonna say, or you just take a power bomb and then you're fine.
Fucking nuts. This
our
series arc has been. Mike's dizzying logic that he would rather take a power bomb than a chop.
Ooh, absolutely. You've watched the videos of right? Moonshine chopping people.
Mike,
right?
Did Nobody you notice the stunned that? Silence that came over everyone with now, how little that makes
to
sense?
To be fair, I'm like 6'2", 3", I'm very fat at the moment, about like 365, 370, so... It's plenty of pandemic weight. So it's easy for me to sit here and say I would take a power bomb because there's not a lot of people that could lift me to put me into one. But I argue that it's easier to spread yourself out, take the shot, and allow the bump to dissipate rather than taking a focused chop to the chest.
I have a physics book I'm going to whip out here real
fast. Pain in one location of this. Compared to your entire spine,
It's you land flat on your back if you land right.
Michael,
I have definitely been slapped by women in the past very hard, and it's not in a far region from where you know the chop would be. It would suck and it would hurt, but it's also confined to a local area.
Exactly. There's no chance of any serious injury. Like,
dude, I've seen enough people bleed off of chops.
Okay,
I'll bleed off of chops.
I was going to say, what's a little open skin compared to neck surgery?
Yeah, I'm not saying take like 100 power bombs. I'm saying take.
It doesn't take 100. It takes one.
It's like you have to take it.
Okay,
I mean,
like, don't get me wrong. There's a chance for shit to go wrong with every single movement, but like a power bomb has so much of that margin for error than a chop. Like it.
The power bomb. I'm just saying.
Mike, I think you're confusing the fact that, yes, it's more surface area. That doesn't mean it's not going to hurt.
I'm not saying it's not going to hurt. I'm saying I would rather take that than
the inertia of you getting power bombed.
You know, I'm sorry. Kevin Nash has, like, the best power bomb ever because he just lifts you up and lets you go.
Okay, hold on. Case in point, then. Kevin Nash doing it on the giant Paul White. And almost breaking his neck. Just saying, you used the perfect one. Almost broke his neck.
But he was greener than goose shit at that point.
Would you be, Michael, frankly.
Yes, I would say it would take some practice, but I would rather take a power bomb.
Take practice, so you have to get a few of them.
Yeah.
Let's pivot away. I appreciate your stance. With everybody else, though. You're wrong, Mike. But you have to deal with your stance, so good for you.
I do find it funny, though. Every wrestler we've had on would always choose the chop, except he almost had Heidi won over, but then she realized it and went back to, like...
That it's a fucking bump. She, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, but every take a wrestler, strike over a bump any day of the fucking week.
Which, oh my God, Heidi Howitzer worked that crowd to perfection.
Yeah.
At Weekend Journeys, like
we're just going to migrate into talking about Weekend Journeys now, more or less.
Yeah, man, I was so excited to see Heidi in a Journey Pro ring. You know, I think I reached out to her at the beginning of the year. I think it was just on a whim, just seeing a Twitter gif or something like that, and then learning she was kind of. You know, she was in Denver at the time. It was just easy to reach out to her on the show, and then to have her like finally booked here locally, I think was just awesome. That interview we had with her, at least our first one, was really one of the turning point interviews for us, because it was the first time we really had a wrestler on that we didn't know, that we hadn't met before. Mm-hmm. But then in the process of the conversation, coming to find out, you know, she and Dallas come from the same training tree, basically, because Hoodie and Anaya trained her as well. So it was really awesome for me and Kev, and not to toot our own horn, but like I think our interview shows tend to be our best shows. Mm-hmm. But that one is extra special because you can kind of hear in real time. You know, Heidi and Dallas start talking to each other and speaking this language that Kevin and I are just kind of like, we sort of get, but
pretend though, right? Oh, we know the lingo.
Yeah, but cool. I mean,
brother was said like 93 times on that episode.
Exactly. Like once they kind of learned that they had been in the same like sphere of wrestlers and trainers and stuff, like it was just the dynamic of the conversation changed really well. And that was, It was really exciting. So, I mean, she's quickly become like a good friend to all of us. And we were so excited to have her here.
Does that Dallas, even though she whipped her ass for a ticket?
I pinned her for a ticket. Okay. So it's on the record books. So
it's on the record.
It's on the record books.
She it will forever
be in history.
She did have two before.
She was leading the track for a little bit there with the two tickets, but then Manders decided to come wreck shop and took the lead in that.
He's scary.
It's so crazy. I've known him since before he was the one called Manders. I met him for the first time, I think, in 18. Like, not like he's been around longer than me, but he hadn't been traveling and working shows that long, I think, by the time I first met him. And then, you know, he got over on Twitter tweeting about another day, another mile down the road, or another day, another town, or whatever, hashtag making towns. Mm-hmm. And he got super over and he started getting booked on bigger and bigger shows. And now, like, he's practically a mainstay at Journey. And to kind of see that, just kind of like we always got told in school that wrestling was like a small world, a smaller world than it seems. And there have been so many instances, even in the last year, where I kind of was just, it was demonstrated to me. Yeah, right. It really is a small world. Like, it's crazy to me to think about how many locker rooms I've been in with people that are on WWE, AEW, Impact, ROH, like, I can find somebody on almost every show that I've been like, met them, wrestled them, saw them. Like, it's I've only been here for 4 years now, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's cool, man.
That's real awesome.
But yeah, I pinned Heidi Howitzer.
You do, yeah.
That's right. It all goes back to that.
I can't get over the whole, like, what was it? The Saskatchewan Purple Nurple you're trying to do on her. That's move number 73 on Jericho's list.
It is. It's move number 73. Well, you know, Journey Pro especially knows that that's kind of, that's what I do. I've done it all. I did it in, I think, every scramble that I was in 2019. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's habitual. But I'd never wrestled a woman up to that point. So I've never come across that dilemma. And I had to stop and ask myself, is this really something I want to do? Do I want to commit to this? And I didn't come to a decision in time. And it bit me, but I bit back. So it's all good.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because this being Jerry Pro's first outside show, we were up near the front on the left, like kind of over by the big dinosaur and the banner there.
Oh, okay.
You were, of course, working the show, but Kevin and Mike, you guys were back kind of on the back in the shade, right?
Yeah, we...
This is a small difference, by the way, and my big bottle of aloe confirms that, the most definite.
Oh, no.
Guys, we're both. It was great. Like Jamie and me were talking about this on our way back. Is that we could hear so much more now. Of course, there's pluses and minuses to that. You know, some of the reverberation you get in an indoor place doesn't really happen as much. And you know, but it seemed like, or maybe we just heard it better, that the talent was just, we could hear the animations a lot more. Were you able to hear more about during the show what was going on in the ring, or not so much from back where you guys were?
Oh, no. I mean, we heard, like, Heidi talking to the crowd, we heard loud and clear.
Yeah,
yeah, now, she was shouting her ass off the whole time.
Yeah, she's very loud.
The PA
guy. You like
guy,
butt stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, I was getting water. I was like, that is your butt stuff? All right.
I was like, is it my birthday? Yeah, the sound there was fantastic. Yeah, where we were at, it was fine. I mean, we could hear everything. I felt kind of bad. I mean, we bought tickets. We purchased tickets. I think I didn't use my ticket until literally the last match because I had to use the bathroom. Other than that, I was outside the whole time because Lemonade Park is set up so well. I mean, I don't mean to say it. If you don't have a ticket, you can still see it, and you can still see a great show. So. And you could hear the place down the street. Like I had to keep going to my car to get things, and I would hear like the ring bumps, like you would hear that down the street, and it sounded amazing going in the bottoms because it was just echoing throughout the industrial area.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, like the sound there is done by the guys from Record Bar. So, I mean, they put a lot of love into it.
Of course. I mean, they do concerts there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Get Up Kids were playing later that night. So everyone had to break down super quick. So it's just, yeah, the sound was great. And where we were at, it was a good view too. I mean, compared to when we were at Blip Roasters, we were too hot to go in there. So we were kind of just there on the side watching through the window. And even that was actually a pretty good seat too, you know?
Wasn't going to talk enough, definitely, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Oh my God, Blip was so damn hot. Like it was ridiculous. I sweat through two shirts, shit you not. Two shirts. Sweat through them both. I sweat a lot.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, we lasted like 10 minutes into the Gary J, like Anaya match, and then we're like, can't take it. I'm going back outside.
So the first match on the card.
I still haven't seen the rest of the 78 weeks. We were taking breaks and stuff, but there was me and Jamie. We each had one. We only almost passed out once each, you know. So this is during Jeremiah match, ironically enough, because he didn't get to yell "Lion Tamer" at Jeremy Wyatt.
Maybe you need to learn a Lion Tamer. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe you could be my white knight. And do a Lion Tamer on somebody.
Don't do it.
Just give him the ear pull in the ring or whatever, the signal that it's coming.
He's going to be watching now. He's going to be paranoid. He's going to be watching all my matches, just like hands on his knees. Like, all right. Did he pull his ear? Did he just pull his ear?
This is the one.
Did he pull his ear? Did he do it? I think he did it. Oh my God, it's coming.
There was a moment, and you could ask JJ. I forgot who it was, but they were they had him up like they were going to do like a Boston Crab or something, and they just went into the single leg. I'm like, oh my God, here's my moment. I'm getting a Lion Tamer, and then they just took it right away from me.
I think that's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to find a way to tease it into every match, but I'm never going to quite get it. And then I'm going to find you. I'm going to find you, and I'm going to look you in the eye as I'm about to do it, and I'm going to say, here it comes. It's coming. Look, here I go. Oh, no. And then he's, you know,
and that's
or slip on a banana peel or
some random banana peel in the ring, really.
Yep. Thrown in there by
doing their jobs.
Full on high angle, like you put your knee in the back of their head, Lion Tamer, not this Walls of Jericho Boston Crab shit. I want a WCW goddamn Lion Tamer.
WCW Lion Tamer.
Times, Jamie. I'm just saying.
It will happen. It will happen at one of these shows.
It's, you know, you gotta find your passions, man. And if a Lion Tamer is your passion, then
if it happens, I will literally just be like the Lonely Island and jizz in my pants.
No. Okay.
Watch the rose.
I think it was Alan Angels that almost did the Lion Tamer, if I remember.
Yes,
right.
That's who it was. Alan Angels, five.
I love seeing him live. Goddamn, he was
rad.
He's
a good dude too. Like we talked to him afterwards.
15-20 minutes afterward, at the end of the show, he's so nice. Such a guy.
And how cool was it to hear the Dark Order theme in a Journey Pro ring, like in a Journey Pro show?
God, yeah. That was so cool.
Man,
that's so cool.
We doing the hand.
We even like teach him about the E, because Jamie and I haven't gotten our emails yet, and we even bothered him about. And he got like super into it. He's like, "No, it's the email server." See, what happened was he started digging into it. We're both, you know, like, it was cool. I mean, so that was good. The Ticket to Ride was a great concept. I think it came off really well. It wasn't too long. Because in total it was around about an hour, right? So your typical Jeremy Wyatt match, you know. So
yeah, that's how you judge it.
but it was Kenny Alfonso over, which is great.
Kenny Alfonso deserves it. I love me some Kenny Alfonso. I liked him back before the 78 weeks of nothingness. Like he was so over then. Like he's so damn good and gifted. Like, you know. I just we interviewed Walter.
I tell him almost on a weekly basis. I just look at him and I say, "God, I hate you." And he just smiles at me, he chuckles, and he's just like, "Oh man." And I'm just like, "You're just too fucking good. And on top of that, you're nice. The fuck's wrong with you?" Yeah. Seriously. Can you just tell me so that I can stop looking for the flaw? Because I can't fucking find it, you dick. And he doesn't he doesn't even throw it back at me. He just fucking sits there and smiles and he's like, "Oh man, come on, you know."
Maybe it's something little, like he puts pineapple on pizza or something, you know, something.
The ultimate heel move.
You know, maybe that's what it is. But if it was that, then I don't think I'd be able to live with that. I'd be like, "That's it? Really?"
That'd be almost worse, right? That's so much. Fuck.
You know,
the pop for him was beautiful. Like that live audience really was behind him. Even hearing the children cheer like Kenny, it was so cool. You know, like it was great.
He looks like a goddamn superhero. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah. How do you get, like, he's not the biggest dude, but he's jacked.
He's ripped. Yeah.
Like he's, you know, God.
He's more straight than Julian Salad, man.
God damn it. You already did it once. We have running games. Our show, and that's Jamie's, and it drives me crazy.
I know, but like, yeah, I mean, seeing him get that, having come up with him, like he had been around a little while after, by the time I showed up, but we still kind of like came up together, you know. We still spent 9 months together at the TPC, so like, and we've still trained together since. But yeah, seeing him starting to get his flowers and seeing other people start to recognize that like he is all that, it's a matter of time, and it's not going to take a lot of it. It's a matter of time. That
dude, enjoy it while lasts.
Yep.
I fully expect to see him on, you know, New Japan Strong or Ring of Honor or Impact, something dark.
He's going on TV soon.
He's going to be on something.
I would not be surprised when AEW comes to town, which I'm assuming they're coming to town right around Full Gear.
I like that.
I don't doubt that.
I mean,
I would not be shocked.
Did you catch their show right before quarantine when they were here in the Silver Spoon?
That was
Night?
Our last live wrestling show because Journey Pro show canceled right because it was like right after lockdown.
We got a picture with Dallas and all of them because Journey Pro did that whole thing of, "Hey, yeah, free tickets if you find us." They're like, "Oh, Journey Pro."
Jamie's daughters, and then me and him are just like, all right, where's DJ? Where's Walter? He saw you because I was
gimmicked up.
Yeah, you were gimmicked up. So you were easy to spot, sir.
Helped us get those free tickets, which we never whatever. But it was, yeah, that was our last live wrestling show. And still one of the best live matches that I've ever seen is that half hour Iron Man between Pac and Kenny Omega.
Yeah, that opened the show. That was wild.
Yeah.
A like, bold move and the right one.
They do a lot of that shit. Like, they open their show with bangers all the time, mm-hmm. and then it kind of fizzles out, and they're like, oh, but wait, we have a main event. And then it's like, bam.
Bell curve. They have this, like, you know, it's just like, ah! And then, okay, go get some pizza and a beer, and then be back for the good shit in the end. And yeah.
Stay tuned for Picture in Picture.
Go to the their Picture in Picture lasts so long, dude. That's like, that's one thing. That's one thing.
Do the Picture in Picture on the women's match. They do a single women's match. It drives me nuts, which I hope after All Out, I hope not, because, you know, they're doing the whole Battle Royal thing, and they should have some people debuting, like, oh, Ruby Soho. Hey, Ruby.
Yes.
Yeah, that's yes. Hey, yes,
Did you see that Lainey Luck was appearing on Dark tonight?
On Dark.
Yeah.
She's already on Dark already, but she's going to be on Dark tonight, because this is released on Tuesday. Yeah, tonight.
Yeah, she was on Dark, and she's going to be on Dark Elevation, both, because she wrestled Thunder Rosa on Monday.
Nice. I know. Oh, okay, good.
Which
is awesome.
Yeah, which happy for her, because I love her whole gimmick. That that terrible ass song just gets stuck in your head, you know? Yeah. I don't know what it is about that song. I'm like, God, this song is fucking terrible. But
you're clapping and dancing along.
It is terrible. It is terrible. What the fuck? I just remembered what the song was, and it immediately came to my head, and I was like, oh no.
It's on my Journey Pro playlist. I have a Journey Pro playlist that we listened to on the way in. Oh,
that's pretty sick. Which I gotta tell you, as somebody who came out to like a new song every month in 2019, which Dallas Cade song do you have on that list?
Actually, I have Kickstart My Heart, the most recent one, because I think he came out to that one previously, and I love Motley Crue. So I was like, yep, that's the song. Like, I figured you'd come out to that, or like maybe a Dr. Feelgood type thing, but Kickstart My Heart's perfect.
Kickstart Feelgood. Yeah. Like, I like, you got to find the sweet
Big
spot.
Cherry pie.
You don't want to, I think, doesn't Chelsea, no, am I thinking of something else? I don't know. Chelsea, but,
Bang Your Head by Quiet Riot was another one I figured you might do.
That was, nice. Yeah. I think I did that on a, it was one of the one and dones that I've done. Yeah, I haven't been
Didn't
back
Didn't you do Livewire at one point too?
Livewire is usually my go to.
That's what I thought.
Like during the brief stint, between COVID and me finally winning the scramble, I did Livewire both times. Okay. And I was going to do Livewire again, but Walter was just like, I think we threw Kickstart Your Heart on there or whatever. And I was like, you know, as long as it's Motley Crue, I'm good. Like, because, during the scramble run, I was very particular. Like, we had a certain angle we were going for with each one. And there was a specific story or a specific part of the story that we were trying to tell. And the music was a part of that. Like every single choice, big or small, that I made for that run was all deliberate. And it was because I was still in the scramble month after month that we thought it would be okay to like get away with doing different music every time, because music is like part of the presentation, you know, it's part of your entrance. Yeah. So like it's part of what kind of gets most some people over is because they hear the music and they're immediately like, ah, oh, it's this person. And you know, some people interact with it, like the besties. So like that's a huge part of your character. And for me, I was kind of like, but I'm aiming, like, if we're gonna make it about the genre itself, like in the time period, and we're gonna do the hair metal heartthrob, it's gotta be a period piece. Like it's gotta be a bunch of it. It's gotta be like, you know, kind of all encompassing. And there was some stuff that I tried that I didn't like or didn't work. And there was stuff that I did, and that did work. So I kind of used that as my period of throwing shit at the wall and seeing what stuck. And what stuck was what I was going to start incorporating in 2020, before COVID hit. So But now we're back, and now we can get back on track with all that.
Oh yeah.
So speaking of music, I figured this would be a fun time to play a couple games with you guys, since we're getting close to probably time
it's
on this.
It's time to get going. So we do this thing called the Impossible Game. We do variants of it. Jamie's better organizing him than I am, although my last one was pretty good. But we have a couple different variants of it, and the whole thought is that these are meant to be somewhat of the impossible, like a Sophie's Choice sort of thing, you know.
Okay.
But wrestling related usually. So, Jamie, what do we have for the Impossible Game for our friends here?
Okay, so we'll start with the music one, and then we have another one that's kind of like FMK, but I call it Feud, Faction, or Fire. So,
okay.
Instead of FMK. All right, but we'll start with the music. So you are on a desert island, okay? You get to bring two albums with you. One you can listen to every single day, and it's on repeat every single day. And then you get one that you can listen to once a year, once. What are those two albums?
Well, whoever's living with me is going to hate me. Because my two albums...
You pick a ska album, Kevin.
We never said if there was or was not anybody living with you. You're solely in charge of the music.
Oh, shit. Then, yeah, it's Ska Boy all the time. Dallas called me out. first album that comes to mind, the one I listen to every day, would probably be Less Than Jake's Losing Streak. I think that's from, like, 1996. Classic album from beginning to end. If I could listen to one album a year, it would have to be, which I do pretty much anyway, is the Crow soundtrack, because I always listen to it around the time of, like, Devil's Night. And that's one of the most perfect movie soundtracks ever.
It's like, a fantastic soundtrack. You are not
wrong. I love it, yeah.
I'm really showing my age with all this, like, old music. But those two, I would say, are the first two that came to mind during this.
I'll let you go ahead, Mike.
You let me go ahead? Okay. So the one I'd listen to every day would be easily would probably be Metallica's Injustice for All album. Not their best album to listen to every day, but one is, like, I think the perfect song. So one I would want to hear that. Fucking,
like, hard rock. Yeah. It's the one's the best song.
God, to listen it's to so once a year. Probably the Black album in that case. I've only listened to that 8,000 times, so at least listening to it once a year I won't get so burned out on it.
True.
All right.
Let's hear the generational gap here.
Right.
I think I'm going to surprise
you. Once again, you. Give you a Walter music. We did this exact same game with Walter while you're thinking there. And me, I was Rage Against the Machine self-titled for my everyday.
Nice.
I mean, I've heard that album probably 85 million times as it is, but I could care less. I would listen to it 85 million more. And my once a year was Zeppelin 4. I know. Stairway to Heaven, whatever, you know, but I love that album top to bottom. Reminds me of my dad, and, you know, me and my dad. My dad's a Beatles fan and a Zeppelin fan, so yeah.
Nice.
Zeppelin 4. And Jamie, I can't remember yours.
So my everyday was Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd.
That's right.
Oh, God. You're just like my dad.
I love me some Pink Floyd.
My dad tried so hard to get me into Pink Floyd because Pink Floyd is like his favorite all time. And every single time I've literally fallen asleep.
Oh. Mellow, you know why? Because you're straight edge. You don't do any. Never mind. You're very pure.
You'd be good. Okay, no.
That is right. Yeah, that's a good point.
What's your everyday? And what was your once a year, Jamie?
I don't remember what it was. I do not remember what my once a year was. If I had to say anything, it might have to be
Panther. That's right.
Steel Panther, Feel the Steel. Steel the Panther. I love Steel Panther.
Steel Panther's pretty good.
All right, Dallas, on you.
So yeah, I know. I'm honestly not struggling with the everyday one. It's the once a year one that I'm struggling. I think my everyday is actually going to be 10 by Pearl Jam.
Oh,
that's not a left field. Okay.
There's not a bad song on that album.
I wore through my first copy of that CD, just like a few others, like Rage One. I did. You know, that was such
a CD. That's so fun. You guys remember when those existed?
You don't. Oh, wait, no, you do. They still use this.
I was around for VHS, okay? I was around for those.
I'm just going to put a nice little picture of somebody else in front of it. There's Heidi Howitzer over your face.
Right, yeah. That's great.
It's funny. We have kind of a joke on the show that, you know, when the day comes, the Dallas decides to, you know, change gimmicks and get rid of the hair metal heartthrob. We think that his heel turn should be like just transition straight into grunge.
Oh, that would be
and just
great.
That's what it's gonna be. Hair metal.
Oh, yes, to come out to Alice in Chains.
Yes. There you go.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna once a year.
You'd be Raven.
Oh, I take all that back now.
Go like straight, like, you know, social justice warrior, you know, kind of like.
Go Billy Kidman. Billy Kidman, man. Billy Kidman, he had the
hockey. Yeah. Chain myself to a tree.
All right, once a year. What you got?
God, that's hard. Cause I'm like a I'm like a Swiss Army knife when it comes to music, man. I don't alienate genres. I don't like even if I have to come or even if it takes me some time to come around to it, I'll give everything a chance at least once. Because ultimately, even if I didn't like something all that much, I find something that I do.
It's true. I've sent him some weird shit I would think he would hate, and he's like, "Man, this isn't bad."
Yeah. Yep.
Still won't touch my ska.
God, once a year. See, Jesus. Once a year. So, like, my thought process with once a year is because it's once a year, it's got to be something that I don't think I can live without. But if it's going to be in my life, I have to be okay with it only being around once a year. It's like Christmas.
Real big fish.
I mean, you got cheese. That's the impossible game part of it. You're getting kicked off the plane. An album and go.
Ah, man. I think honestly, it might be a band called Issues. It's their self-titled album.
That's a guess.
Because
that's the one to get for Issues.
Oh yeah. Holy shit, you've listened to Issues?
Fuck yeah. I have all their albums.
Fuck yeah, dude. Disappear, man. I flip my shit.
Yes.
Disappear gets me in my heart, bro.
Nice.
But yeah, that's my once a year.
We'll listen to it on the way to Chicago, Jamie. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. We got 8 hours.
That's a fun drive. Metal through your ears.
Save you some money going through the South Side, you'll pay like $20 in tolls if you go in through Iowa. Little Chicago trick tip there. If you go in through like Springfield and drive up north, Springfield, Illinois, that's the easy way to go. That's every time I go back home.
Okay. Because my mom is from Springfield. I've been there a million times.
Take that route and you're good. The other route, if you go up north through 80 or whatever, going through Iowa into Illinois, you'll get through the suburbs and everything, but every suburb has like a $5 toll or something. I remember, and this is like 2013 money, I remember spending like $20 in tolls.
Yeah.
So yeah, avoid that.
Just going up 72 to 55, I think it is, and boom, straight
north. You're good.
I grew up in Decatur, so yeah.
Oh, perfect. See, you all right.
What's your other possible game, Jamie?
All right, so this is a game I like to call Feud, Faction, or Fire. This is three wrestlers. You need to choose who you're going to feud with, who you're going to faction with, and who would you fire if you had the ability. So we're going to go with the exact same three that I had last time. Just fair. So Jeremy Wyatt, Hoodie Howlett, and Gary J.
Oh, fuck.
That's tough.
You put me in a rough spot here, dude. I know all three.
Look at this to Walter, too.
If word gets around, I'm getting my ass beat no matter how this shakes out.
Really? I get a lightsaber put on you.
Yeah, I'm worried about it. Like, ooh, yeah, all three of these men.
With Hoodie, and Hoodie's like, fuck you, I want
All three of these men could kick my ass, yeah, so. I gotta...
All right, just to go. Who's got a?
I'll go first. I would feud with Jeremy Wyatt. I would faction with Hoodie, and I would fire Gary only because he's from St. Louis. And
you other than St. Louis Anarchy, Wyatt?
St. Louis deserves all the. With Hoodie in my corner, that'd be fun. I'd be fine.
Okay, I see.
I would just send Hoodie after him. Point. It'd be fine.
Damn it, you stole mine. I was just going to fire Gary J just because I was afraid of the other two. But yes, I would.
Answer, that's fine. You don't have to. If that's
yeah, I would definitely feud with Jeremy Wyatt, though, because I feel like, I mean, he can make anyone look good. So if he can, you know, so it would be a good feud. I want a faction with the Howlett. So like, you know, Hoodie, I would rather be with him or against than against him. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, Gary J, nothing personal. Just you aren't the other two.
I think Walter fired Hoodie. He said, because Hoodie's always telling me he's gonna quit anyway. So I'll just end that. And then what did he do? He factioned with Gary and he feuded with
everyone wants to feud with Wyatt.
He said,
Walter is still out of pocket. Wow.
I mean, it's when we had Walter on here, of course, so you having the Booker, you know, but yeah.
I love him.
All right.
Oh, sorry.
All right. I too am going to fire Gary because it is the least personal of the three.
Okay. The least chance of getting your ass beat, we think.
Yeah, I think so. Also, Gary's just so like, all right, man. Yeah, cool. Whatever. Like, he's just...
don't care. Like,
yeah, he doesn't get worked up very much. So, like, I feel like he'd just be like, all right, it was a, you know, he'd be like, it was a dumbass choice, but whatever. And he'd just fucking leave.
It sounds like it.
So Hoodie and Wyatt, then one of them you're gonna have to faction with, one of them feud against.
I'm going to feud against Hoodie.
Ooh, I can see that,
because I want to fight that man really bad.
I want to see
and that. It's not because I hate him, it is in fact the opposite. Hoodie is literally, and he knows, I just remembered this. Hoodie would always if any of the out of towners or, you know, once in a blue moon talent came in, the few times I would try not to bother anybody because, you know, young boy, but if I was ever in the locker room like helping somebody out or whatever, Hoodie would come by. He'd put his arm around me and be like, now when you're stinking up the joint out there one of these days, kid, I want you to remember something. I shat you out of my womb. You're my child. And if you disappoint me, remember, I put you in this world and I can take you out. So he is very affectionately known.
He's your mother.
He is my wrestle mom. And if there was anybody, I think, on an emotional level that I think... I don't know how to verbalize this, that I could level with more than anybody else, it would probably be Hoodie. So
okay.
I feel like if anybody was going to get the most emotion out of me and out of the crowd, it would be him. So I think, yeah, that would definitely have to be my feud, which leaves me to faction with Jeremy Wyatt. Oh, darn. Shucks. What a bummer, man. Yeah, because the foundation wasn't like a cool thing at all. So
at all.
Yeah,
at
super,
all.
Super bummed to be a part of that. Yeah.
Well, nice. That's why it's called the impossible game. You gotta make the choices like that. I think one time we did it where we did a feud faction or fired with three terrible factions. It was like, what was it? It was like the Spirit Squad.
Spirit Squad, Mean Street Posse, and Superheroes in Training, I believe.
Oh, was it Aces and Eights?
Oh, yeah, Aces and Eights. Sorry, Aces and Eights.
Ooh.
Oh,
boy. Yeah, and it's like, I have to actually join one of those. Nice.
Well, I mean, well, if we still got time, I have a foundation story for you.
Of course.
So, I don't know if you guys remember the formation of the foundation, but its original incarnation... just the three of them, Strider, Wyatt, and Ace. It started with Ace jumping the guardrail and beating up Gil Rogers, I think it was.
Okay, all right.
That was his first appearance in NWL. that was also my first day as a staffer. So one of the guys on the crew, I'm standing in that weird like hallway in the middle of Scottish Rite where it would go like under the seats and kind of like didn't really go anywhere. So we just kind of stood there and I was standing there and one of the guys comes and he grabs me and he's like, "Hey, come here real quick." So I go down the hall and around the corner, Ace Steele's standing there in the hallway, had no idea he was there. And he goes, "Hey guys, I want to introduce you. This is Ace. He's about to go do a run-in. So if you guys can just make sure that while he's on his way over the rail, nothing's like, you know, nobody gets in the way or nobody, you know, trips over. He doesn't run into anybody or anything. Cool." So CM Punk got me in the business, by the way. So Ace Steele, guy who trained him, is just standing here in the hall right with me. And I'm just, and like, you know, obviously you don't want to fucking mark out as the, you know, literally like week one or two greenhorn that's like just showed up at the school. So I'm like, you know, hopefully my eyes weren't as, you know, bugged out and wide as I felt, but you know, I shake his hand and I'm like, "Oh my God." I said, "Hi, you know, nice to meet you." And he's like, "Hey, you know, I'm Ace." And I was like, "I know." I just like stopped and I was like, I thought to myself, "Dear God, what have you done?" I thought it was over for me in that moment.
Well, so much for this live stream. We're gonna do something else.
And you know, this segment went off without a hitch, and I got home and I was like, "Mom, Dad, I met Ace by God Steel today." And they were like, "Who's Ace Steel?"
Yeah. "That's the guy from Kiss? What is that?"
But yeah, my first day on the job, Ace Steel shows up.
I love hearing all the NWL stories. I mean, we loved NWL, and luckily the fall of NWL led us to Journey Pro. And yeah, you know, good things going forward here. So thank you guys for joining us. Please plug away. Go for it.
Oh God. Well, I think we already hit the social media, so like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at 3B Wrestling Pod. We are part of the Kansas City Podcast Network. So I think their Twitter is at KCP Network. So it's
KCP KCP Network. Yeah,
it's right. KCP Network. So they're doing some amazing stuff over there, and we're beyond excited to be a part of it. I think that's we really don't have anything. We'll have
podcast. Okay.
What time is it?
Please that.
I think we air at like 8 p.m. on Tuesdays.
8 p.m. on Tuesdays.
Thank you.
Yeah,
And they run it on Twitch. They run it through Twitter, and then you can find them later on YouTube, and then of course Spotify, iHeartRadio, most anywhere else your podcast feeds.
Yeah, so awesome. Check them out.
What do you got?
Away for all this stuff. So,
Kev, do you got anything?
Hi, I'm a Pisces. I've got a Twitch. twitch.tv/KevinWK. I stream every once in a while.
I'm a Pisces.
I like long walks on the beach. I do a wrestling, wrestling simulating show from using the WWE 2K engine called 8-Bit Brawl. I worked on a mini series. I just have to finish the commentary for it, and then I'll be releasing that soon, and that'll be a little fun little thing. But I do like a weekly wrestling show, kind of like just a watching Raw, except it'll be all in WWE 2K, and it's hilarious, and it's got all of us in it and a bunch of other 8-bit geek characters and stuff. It's pretty fun.
I'm a Pisces.
You're still gonna get over
best plug ever.
Yeah, I feel like a Pisces.
I like long walks on the beach.
Fucking great.
There's gonna be a few listeners that'll be like, "That makes sense" after listening to this interview.
Wait till they find out I'm a Virgo. Ew.
Until they find out your birthday.
I know. Yeah, I mean, we plugged all the pod stuff. I'll plug me because, you know, I'm a selfish asshole. Got to put over the talent, damn it.
Available for bookings. Hello.
I'm on. I'm on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. All at Dallas Cade. I got shirts. If you want to buy shirts, I'm on prowrestlingtees.com/DallasCade. I've got a couple sick ones on there. I don't have my first one yet. I'm still working on that. That's about it, I think.
Hey, we always plug merch. I mean, Jimmy and me, we got merch. We
I'm bad merch. At it, man. I'm real bad at plugging my merch.
Okay. We usually have to remind them.
So thank you guys for listening. We do appreciate it. We will be back just for your normally scheduled 2 Mark show on Thursday. We'll talk about AEW, get you guys all ramped up and ready for All Out. As you know, yes. We are as a reminder, we won't have our normal post AEW show pay-per-view show because we'll be driving back from Chicago. So we'll be back next Tuesday to talk about All Out with you guys here. But please follow, like, subscribe our friends over at the Beers Breakdowns, and I fucked that up. Jesus Christ! Like,
shit up. Told you I need to change the name, guys.
I love that name, right, man. That's why all the socials are 3B. It's so much easier.
Yeah. 3B. He goes through it too.
So it's the Bruisers Breakdowns and Beards podcast.
See, it's so glorious when you get it right. It's just
it is. As a fellow Bruiser,
I'm the beardless one here. I feel like, you know, like I'm the young
bro. I barely count. All right,
For the longest, and then the pandemic hit.
Dallas is good. I remember my first beard. I mean, yeah.
Mine just migrated south after high school.
I grew a mean conquistador. Like, it's amazing. Nice. Like, I get this and that. It just looks so glorious. That's about it. That's all I got.
God. All right, so thank you guys for joining. Thank you guys for coming. We do appreciate it. We will see you next time. Jamie, why don't you take us home, man?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not down with Total Spot Fest, I got 3 words for you. Dallas Cade Lion Tamer?
Oh, no. Now I got to do it.
I got to do it. All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Peace.